Hey, what's up? This is Just Plain Nonsense.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Rob.
And I'm Josh.
And this Just Plain Nonsense is a podcast where we just sit and we talk about literally anything that we want, and it all basically comes out as nonsense. Michael has our topic today, as I like to pass it off to him. So, Michael, what are we doing?
Today's topic is...
In Trouble.
That's what I titled it.
Awesome. I like that it was quiet there because I like to add in that little sound effect.
Nice. That's why I did it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically the entire premise of this episode is to talk about times that we've gotten in trouble as a kid and even as an adult, if we get to that point.
Right.
And because I think it's just kind of fun to look back on all the times that we did something stupid or just did something that was a no-no.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a...
Yeah. You know, we all did some of those.
Yeah. We got the slap on the hand or in some cases got away with it. Probably should have got the slap on the hand. So that's what this is about.
Awesome. That's going to be fun. Nice. All right. So you want to get us started?
Yeah, sure.
What do you got?
It's just going to be personal stories. It's a very personal episode. So
You've never been in trouble though, right?
No. Well, maybe a few times.
Tell me about it.
I'll try to scratch up some material here from the past. Well, I guess I titled this one in my notes, Spider-Man. This is how I earned the nickname Spider-Man.
Okay, I was gonna say your brain is truly a wonder to me. Like, I just don't understand how you make these connections, and then you're like, I got the nickname Spider-Man. I'm like, okay, but then I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Based on some of the stuff that I know, this is gonna be gross or it's gonna be funny.
It's gonna be weird.
Okay.
So some of you may know that I was enlisted for 6 years, you know, active duty military. And when you're in the service after your boot camp, you usually have a period of training for whatever your MOS is, your job.
What's right? MOS stand for?
I don't remember.
Military Operational Specialty.
Boom.
There specialty? Yeah. Okay.
So it's like your job.
Right.
Your rating. So I was in Corps school because I started out my career as a corpsman. And we were in these barracks. And so I was in Great Lakes at the time. And fresh out of boot, the old boot camp. And Christmas was coming around. People were getting liberty. You know, liberty means like you get to go out for a weekend and do something.
Yeah, the terminology, I'm like, I don't know what any of it means. I'll read stories on Reddit and people will be like, yeah, I had the MOS with the FTP of the IP address with the NOC. OPP. And I'm like, I don't know what any of that stuff means. And they'll use terminology. I'm like, I don't get it. So I have to go look it up throughout the whole story.
Yeah, I'll do my best to like explain military vernacular if it comes up.
Got it.
So anyway, one day... I snuck out. I didn't have authorized liberty, so I snuck out.
It's called AWOL.
Yeah. And
that's absent without leave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Absent without liberty.
And so, like, I go home, have the time of my life, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I come back, and when I get onto the base, we had the barracks walls there because I didn't want to come through the front door because... You know, chief could have seen me or something, you know, right. Or the under the officer.
Right.
And so I actually decided to, I thought this would be less risk. And because I heard they were kind of looking for me, right? One of my buddies was saying something. So I climbed up the barracks wall. And whenever I came in.
Was there like something on the outside that you could climb up, like ivy or like a.
No, just a fence it just climbed up to the second story. The window thing. Okay. So I climbed up there and, get to the window, and as soon as I did, the lights were off, and my my bunk buddies were in there, you know, and I turned the light, and they were in there, but also so was my chief petty officer, and he was sitting in a chair, and he goes, "Welcome back, Spider-Man."
Oh, no.
And I was like, crap, you know? And so then after I got in trouble, had to go to a captain's mess and had to, you know, see that, and so then after that, the nickname Spider-Man followed me for a while. And so every time someone sees me on the hall, they'd be like, hey, Spider-Man. I'm like, hey. And so I ended up getting 15 days of like, basically it's like a detention status.
Right.
And so I ended up getting placed for those 15 days of, I guess it's kind of like a jail time sort of.
Right.
But in a different barrack space where you had a different liberty. You couldn't get out. You couldn't leave. And I was stationed in there with a guy we called the Frenchman. Because he spoke with a French accent and, you know, whatever, blah, blah.
Was he French, though?
I would imagine at some point in his life.
Can you imagine him just being an American guy? Just be like, you know what? I'm gonna be a French guy now.
Yeah. And this other guy who we called Beetle because he looked like a beetle. So anyway, I'm in there. And so I somehow, because I was a troublemaker, I managed to sneak my phone and have my phone, even though we weren't supposed to have it when you're on that 15-day restriction.
Right.
And so, but the deal I had with my bunk buddies in that room was that they could all take turns using it and charge at nighttime as long as, you know, we kept it under wraps.
Right.
And so we had Zuniga Beetle. We had the one we called Beetle stand watch one day. And I just keep getting caught. I don't know. So, you know. So me, Spider-Man, Beetle, and the Frenchman were the roommates in this barracks, right?
And that sounds like a kid's cartoon.
And so we established a system.
Spider-Man, Beetle, and the Frenchman.
We established a system where whenever the Frenchman or Beetle was at the door, or any one of us, we would go, we'd have a very discreet way of alerting the other ones.
Let's hear how discreet this was.
And it was this. It was, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo.
Right.
No joke. This is actually a true story, right? It actually played out that way. And so, sorry.
No one would ever expect anything wrong when you guys are doing that. When one guy's standing out in the hallway.
So anyway, we're I'm on the phone and I have my closet door open like that, and I'm talking to my dad, and I'm like, all of a sudden I hear, I go, oh crap! I'll talk to you later, Dad. And I hang up the phone, put in there, close it. And open the door, and Chief's standing right there. And I guess he wasn't paying attention until he was right on the door. And I'm like, oh, crap. He goes, what's in your closet? And I was like, what are you talking about, Chief? And I didn't have time to hide it, you know, because I shut it real quick. And he goes in there and sees my phone, and I get in trouble for that. And then he asked me, he's like, all right, Spider-Man. He's like, I got to ask you one question. What in your right mind made you think that hooty-hoo was a good sound of call? I was like, you better hope that you're never in spec ops or anything secret operative where you have to be disclosed or you have to keep yourself under. So I left that, whenever I finally, you know, got out and went to my duty station, I left that place being known as the dumbest man. But she was like, I want to get mad at you, but it's just like, you know, I got to laugh at you. This is I was like, you're pretty much a danger to yourself. Like, you got. So I'm glad that the Spider-Man thing didn't follow me, but
yeah.
We ended up getting more time and in trouble, and I got my phone taken. And my dad still asks every once in a while, you know, I'll be somewhere with my dad, and I'll just hear him go, hoody-hoo! And I'm like, yeah.
I used to get in trouble a lot at work from having my phone out. I actually signed so I've been working at this place for like 11 years. It's a TV station. And we weren't allowed to use our phones because we were supposed to be watching the broadcast, like what was on air. And we had like 5 channels that we had to watch. Actually, a total of about 18 that we had to watch. But whenever you use your phone, you get in trouble. And I signed this paper about 7 times throughout my whole time working there saying that I wouldn't use my phone. Literally used it every single day.
Sure.
So we got a new manager, and then he called me up to his office. And I went up to his office and I sat down and immediately like, cross my arms because I knew what it was. And then he decided to break me down and be like, he explained every single behavior that I was doing that was like defensive. And it like, it kind of broke me. And I was just like, well, I can't do any of that stuff now. So it was interesting how I got in trouble for it one time in 11 years. And I signed a paper, 7 papers saying I wouldn't use my phone at all.
Dang.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous that they had to resort to that, to have you like sign a paper saying you wouldn't use your phone.
Look at this bad boy.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of times when I should have gotten in trouble, but I didn't. But
oh, yeah.
If I use my phone one time at work, I'll get 29 days off. Unpaid. So there's that.
That's crazy that it's a month off.
Yeah.
But you guys, the fact that you have to pay attention is very, very important at your job.
Yeah.
Mine is like, oh, the show went off the air a minute ago and I didn't stop it. Yours is like somebody broke out of prison and well, they're going to murder
somebody. That's the funny part. The ironic part is that Josh and I here work at a job, which is a prison, mm-hmm. which is we have that job because of the fact that people get in trouble and do what they're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
So we're constantly faced with how things could have went the direction.
Right.
People would just do what they're supposed to do. We wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
So that's true.
So thank you.
And it makes
don't thank anybody for murdering. 51% of our population are murderers. Thank you.
Well,
I'll take that back.
Cut that out.
Woo. Yeah.
So So your reputation followed you. Yep. Good job. Being the, what was it? The dumbest man.
Yeah, it was a, yeah, I'm glad I left there. I would have lived that one down.
Dude, seriously, like I've thought about it before and I might get a lot of hate for this, but like if I ever got to like drafted into the military, I'm not like a military person at all. I'd be like, you better put me peeling potatoes or like setting up computer networks because I'm not going to
fight. We have jobs. They have jobs. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If I ever got drafted, I'd be like, I have to do that because what is that? A conscientious objector or whatever? Like, I'm not going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm not down for that. Yeah. I don't know how it works in the military, but I don't know if I get to choose that or not.
Well, if you enlist, you can choose your MOS.
Yeah, I'm not going to enlist.
Well, I'm saying I'm not sure you could do that anymore unless you're a chaplain. I mean, wouldn't be able to quote me on it, but the conscientious objectors was during the time that they were drafting. And there was
that's people, what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't enlist. If I got drafted, I would have to do that. Because I'm like, I don't think I could kill somebody, and I would put other people in the field at risk. Like, I don't belong out there.
Yeah.
I'm not the type of person that should be out there. I know it got a little serious, but that was like, that was where my head went when you're talking about the military.
Yeah.
Cause you need to put me on something where I can like, I'll design the military website for recruitment or whatever. I'll make the recruitment videos or whatever, but don't put me in the field.
Have you seen that Hacksaw Ridge?
I have not seen, wait. Yeah, no, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah. It's based on a true story. And I normally don't watch military movies. I just don't like them very much,
right.
But that Hacksaw Ridge is pretty good. Like I actually thought it was a really, really good movie. Ooh, those extra phones.
Those are old, outdated phones.
I was going to say, that sounded really heavy.
Yeah, I found them from, I was looking for props. I was like, hey, look, these are old.
Those are ginormous. Like, those are real
broken
thick.
Too, right?
Yeah, these are old iPhones from back in the day.
So this,
I mean, if you have an iPhone for more than a month, it breaks, right?
Yeah.
Look how tiny. We were like, oh my gosh, I got a new iPhone. Look how small this is compared to this one. Look at this.
Yeah.
Well, that was back in the day when technology being small was better.
Yeah, and then
they tried to get smaller and smaller and smaller until people went like, cute, I want a bigger. Man. Yeah,
it's like look at all the technology we can fit in the palm of our hand.
Well, it's like the first cell phone being like this, like
yeah, the bag phone that's like ginormous. You gotta like carry it.
So anyway, back on topic here. What about you? Do you have comes top of your head, or you want us to circle around?
Well, I mean, there's not any big stories when I was an adult, but I mean, as a kid, I can think of one that was pretty big.
Go for it.
So. My mom and dad were divorced when I was younger, and I was with my dad, and we went over to his new wife's parents' house, right? So it was kind of out in the country, and they had a jar that was probably this big. Her dad collected matches, right? And
like used ones or unused
no,
ones?
No, like if you go to a bar or a hotel or whatever, and it has like the...
Oh, you'd have the matches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so... He had a whole bunch of books and matches like in this giant jar. And we kept going outside. Like we'd take a book of matches out and go outside. No. And like we made a little fort and everything. I mean, they had a big yard and he had kind of a trash pile and some used wood. And all. We made a little fort that we were back there and we kept lighting these matches. And we'd sneak in the house, pretend we had to pee, you know. And so two of us would go in at the same time because one would go to the main bathroom. The other would go to... the parents' bedroom bathroom, so we can sneak in there.
Because you can't go to the parents' bedroom bathroom unless the other one's already occupied.
So we
smart.
Yeah, and then we grab a couple. Smart. Yeah, and we emptied probably a third of it, right?
In like a day or something.
Yeah,
wow.
Like over the course of a day.
Wow.
And we started finding more and more stuff to burn until eventually there was like some plastic bags in there, right? And the way that we got caught was that I was sitting there stirring these plastic bags, and something flipped up and like stuck to the side of my face, like, and I couldn't get it off. Like it was just burnt plastic. It's like ah, and so I had like the scar. For a little bit right here, like next to my other scar. So
well, I don't know how I got
at least you're strategic. Well, I was strategic too. Just
but yeah, and I don't remember. I probably was 7 or 8. I mean,
strategic.
Yeah, so it was me and then my older brother Chris, and then I had two other brothers at the time.
Right.
One was a year older and a year younger, so it was the four of us that were all out there catching stuff on fire with these matchbooks.
I was always afraid of fire, man. Like. I still have a healthy fear of it. Like, I don't want to be around it. I mean, I'll go to like a bonfire or whatever, but I don't want to be the guy who started.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm revealing more and more on these episodes that I'm like a sissy.
I like to burn things. Just like to smell burning things.
Depends on what's burning.
Yeah.
I don't.
Sorry.
I know you were thinking those murderers earlier, but if you catch a human on fire, trust me, it does not smell good.
Yeah,
don't burn the long pig.
Yeah, I won't.
The long pig.
I think that's from Archer. It was like, we called it long pig.
So it reminded me of, okay, so not too many kids have a, were you done?
Oh,
was it? I don't.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh yeah, that's how we got caught. How we
you got caught with a scar.
Yeah, I got caught with plastic burning on my face, and you know, I don't
so remember did, which did you one put it them. Out, and then it just sat there because and it was
yeah,
hot?
Like it was just trying to
it was just know, real hot. Yeah. And stuck
yeah. yeah, yeah, it was. I don't know. That might not have been. It was probably around that time. I think it was because we all started screaming.
Did you do that high pitched girl scream?
No, we didn't.
Oh,
but yeah, we all started screaming.
No, you because like no, because it was hot.
He screams in pain like a man, even as a boy.
No, I have this weird thing like. When initially I'm in pain, a lot of times I was like, wait, I'm in pain right now. And I go,
that's when you're like, I'm alive. So I have a story to go along with that. Don't forget what you were going to say.
Okay.
Cause I don't, it'd be weird to like circle around and come back to my story with the fire. So when I worked at, this restaurant, like my very first job, I started as a busboy and I worked 3 days a week making like nothing. My first paycheck was $90 and I like lost it cause I was so excited. So, I got promoted to being a dishwasher, and being a dishwasher, I had to help like with the kitchen stuff. So we had the way that they drained the fryers was that they would put a giant, like 5 gallon pan under it and just drain it into this pan. And then we would carry it out to the grease dumpster or whatever.
Right.
So, but it was so hot that you couldn't hold the handles. The handles were metal as well. So what we would do is we'd wrap a rag around it and carry the rag. And I'm carrying my side. Somebody else has their side. And we're walking out to it. Or out to the dumpster. And as I'm walking, my hand, the rag is slipping out of my hand a little bit from one side. Because you wrap it around and you hold on to both sides of it, you know, and it's wrapped around there. So I'm holding it and then one side's slipping out, but I didn't know it. And all of a sudden, it just slipped out. And my side bounced on the ground and sloshed half of that grease, 300 degrees on my leg, down my leg, into my sock, and into my shoe. And it was uncontrollable, but I screamed so high pitched that it was like, I don't know how to describe it, but imagine
glass like a shattering.
Yeah. It was one of those. It just came out of nowhere. And now thinking back on it, it's super funny. But when it happened, dude, it was so incredibly painful.
Oh yeah.
And what's crazy is the guy that I was working with, that I was carrying it with, he put his side down. He came over and just started dabbing my leg with his rag, like trying to help. So here's the best part of the story. I went inside to finally, because I hobbled inside and it's like, it soaked my sock inside my shoe. Like it was just grease everywhere. And my leg was like tender because it got burned. So I walked in and I told the boss what happened. He goes, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, I mean, I'm not dead or
did
anything.
You maintain the high pitch the whole time?
No. I'm not dead. I'm okay. That's funnily enough, that's where the Mickey Mouse voice came from.
Oh, it hurts real bad. Oh.
No, he asked me if I was okay, and then like he made me work the rest of the day.
What the?
Yeah, and I had a ice pack taped to my leg.
And boss of the year goes to
yeah
that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was my burning myself story. It was it was bad, and I'm surprised I don't have any like scars or anything from it.
Well, my dad always taught me as a kid that when you're in pain, just grunt it out. And so, like, so it stuck with me all the way through adulthood. So now, like, if I hit my head, you'll just hear me grunt for a long. I'll grunt the duration of the pain. I'll go with it.
I think I've seen you hurt yourself, like you stub your toe or whatever, and you're just like, "Oh!"
I'll just grunt. If it hurts for 30 seconds, that's all I'm grunting. I'm like,
I yell at whatever it is that hurt me, and I'm like, "How could you do this to me?" Anyway, sorry. Yeah, go ahead with your story.
All right, so yeah, so I'm gonna call this one. I like to title things because that's just what I do. I'm going to title this one, High Speed Chase. Yeah, there wasn't a lot about that.
No, that was good. I'm just, I was like imagining, every time you give me a title, I like to think about where it's going to go. Because you always go in a weird direction that I don't expect.
That's what I try to do.
I thought you were thinking of special effects or something.
All right. You know, so,
High Speed Chase and have a sound effect. And then like a graphic behind it.
Well, I might just take that little zoom that you did and put it under his.
Nice.
Like, whenever he says it.
I could take off my socks and put Sonic behind him because that's what I got on my socks.
Yeah, we don't want to have to.
That's a high speed chase.
We don't want a copyright notice on that one.
All right. So you ready?
Yes.
I believe in you.
Okay. So I'm just going to throw this out there first that this may just be a fake story in case this could be incriminating somewhere.
This could be.
But this may or may not have happened.
Everything we talk about on here is, is fake.
Yeah, because it's entertainment. But this is a true story. So ready? All right, ready? So this is absolutely crazy, and I cannot believe that I got away with this. So
until now.
And there might be some people here that I'm going to tag or I'm going to get in hold of and have them watch this because they were part of this if this was a real thing.
Part of it. Yeah.
So I went to school with this guy named Jeff Brown.
Me too. I like that guy.
Yeah. He called you out, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
And a few other people. But so anyway, I used to drive this old Chrysler Sebring. All right, this is going to be real fast paced. And so don't interrupt me on this one because it's going to be like,
go ahead.
It's going to match the title. So this is back in my high school drinking days, you know, trying to do what high school kids do when not doing what they're not supposed to be doing. So we were out in this place that is now closed down, but it was called Quarry League Ballpark down south of Marion. And we were all out there drinking, thinking no one's going to bust us, you know, because you know how strategically like sound I am when it comes to trying to get away with stuff. So anyway, we're all out there baseball diamond, a bunch of other high school kids. We're all put up in our cars and I'm there in my old Chrysler Sebring. And I was feeling cool, you know, I had the brown ragtop convertible, you know.
Okay.
So I was feeling pretty cool. I was showing it off, you know, sitting there, whatever. And for a minute, well, anyway, so we're sitting there and all of a sudden we hear somebody yell, cops, cops, you know, and we're like, oh, snap. Well, so Jeff jumps in the back seat of the Sebring, right? And we have tons of alcohol sitting in the car. And this guy who's sitting in the front seat, he's not going to like this, but I think I just need to be descriptive as I can. I used to call him Shady, some Shady.
Okay.
But he was that one token white guy who was super gangster, but lived in a small town and
never,
you know.
Just south of 8 Mile.
But just so happens to be really good at rap.
Right.
You know? So anyway, so he's in the passenger front seat and Jeff jumps in the back and we take off and there's cornfields everywhere, right? And the cops can only get so many of us. And we're peeling off and going for directions. And it was after a good rain.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we're driving down the road and Jeff's chucking bottles of Zima and Bacardi out the freaking, out the car at the Sebring.
Trying to hide them, not hit anybody, right?
Yeah, okay. Of course, you know, throwing out the cornfields. And the whole time, every 5 seconds or so, you hear Sean, you know, some Shady going, oh, snap, man. Oh, snap. You know, and we, Elsa, I guess to lose him because, you know, my ingenious attempts to get out of trouble, I cut through a cornfield. Don't call me when I'm podcasting. And so, like, I decided to cut through one of the cornfields.
Right.
In my little Sebring. And this corn stalks hit. Just, oh yeah, you know, we're going, and we come to the corner. We come up with the other sides because I realized it was a really bad idea. So I come right back on the road. And all of a sudden, we come around where the little Y is at on the road. And we see a cop, and a cop pulls us over, and we're like, oh, we're busted. But we got rid of all the alcohol in the cornfield, so at least that worked out. And there's corn stalks hanging from the front of the car, and Jeff's in the back seat praying. And Jeff's like, I don't want to go to jail, man. I don't want to go to jail. You know, just being thug with it, you know.
Right.
And the cop comes with, and I could not believe this, man. Like, I am so blessed that this worked out this way.
Blessed?
Yeah. Just the way it gets. The cop comes around. There's mud all over the front of the car. There's corn stalks hanging from the front of the fender. The cop comes up and goes, there were some kids coming around here running from the ballpark drinking. Did you see what, you weren't part of that or you haven't seen where they went? We're like, no, we were just hanging out over here. You know, we'll let you know if you see anything, we'll call it in, you know? And he goes, okay, well, you guys drive safe and get home. You know, it's getting kind of late. And he gets his cop car and we look at each other like, what? We have Gordy from a car. We have like super drunk.
You just entered the twilight zone.
Yeah, like, what just happened? Like, there's no way. Like, he must have just been like messing with us. And so like then we pulled out of the road and we keep going and Jeff's in the back seat, like, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. You know, and Sean's like, see, I told you I ain't going to jail. I told you I ain't going to jail. Right. And I look over at Sean. And he's got blood down his shirt, like his nose and his shirt. And I guess he like broke his nose or busted it. And he was like, and I'm like, dude, your nose. He goes, oh, crap, man. Oh, crap. Right. So we got to pull over. Now, it's the ironic part is, remember what I said about Jeff praying, you know?
Right.
And so we pull behind the, I don't know if it's First or Third Baptist Church or Church of God, whatever. It's one of those churches.
One of those numbers that has of churches.
And so we pull up behind there. And all of a sudden, I guess the serpentine belt snapped. Which hit everything on the way down.
Right.
And we made it behind that church. The church, and we recovered right. And like Sean's tending to his nose and Jeff's in the back just like, woo, woo. You know how Jeff got when he's excited. He's like, woo, you know. And And we see like cop cars like go by after that, and I guess they were chasing. They got some people, and I guess a handful of them actually got arrested.
Right.
And I end up calling my mom. And was like, hey, our car broke down. We cut through Corvette, and I need help.
If you're listening to this, Michael's mom, it's not true.
Yeah.
No, it's just the car breaking down.
Yeah.
None of the rest of
that part is a joke.
How'd Sean break his nose?
Yeah. He hit his nose off when we went to the cornfield. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I cut through and went up the ditch, he busted his nose on the front of my car.
Ooh. So you broke his nose.
Yeah. You know, I got a level of thug if you can't keep up, you know, if you're soft. But yeah, so we actually ran from the cops and got away with it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just a silly story.
But apparently half the kids didn't. And we even got pulled over with corn stalks hanging from our car. And
yeah, that's the part that's hard. Like, it's so hard to believe that he didn't notice it. Was it real dark outside?
Oh, yeah, it was. But, I mean, I feel like it was.
Did he light you up with the spotlight?
Yeah, I think my thing is that, like, Jeff's prayers. like to this day, I'll be like, man, you know, because now that I'm, older, more responsible, and a Christian moral dad.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I look back and I'm like, you know what? I think the big man upstairs is looking out for me there, because that's pretty stupid. I should have got caught.
Right. Do you think that cop could have been a rookie or something?
No, I don't know. No, well, maybe. He was what my age is now, roughly.
But, right.
I mean, he wasn't super old or super young, but yeah, it's crazy.
That's such a crazy story.
It's nuts, because like nonsense was in every corner, and we still came out alive. And then and our car broke down behind that church, just so like those other cars, when they finally did catch up and chase those other cars.
Right.
And apparently like a handful of kids got arrested. I got in trouble, you know.
They get like real bad records and whatnot.
They're minors, you know. But yeah, I just thought that was nuts. That was just like my craziest. Like, I got away with this story.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
My getting away with it story is, I think I've told it once before, but my brother and I, and okay, so we used to wait at this bus stop down the street from a convenience store before we'd go into school. And this story may or may not be true. we would go into the store and we would have these competitions to see who could steal the most stuff before we would go to school. So we would go in there and we would like walk around the store and we would like pick stuff up and put it in our pocket. And whenever we'd get to the bus stop, we would like compare who had the most stuff. So I had like, I would go in and I stole like a couple things of soda and like a bunch of candy bars and stuff. And as I'm walking out, they had this cage that was around the door. This was in Houston, Texas. So that was one of the things, is they had a cage around the door. So I was coming out and I tried to open the cage door and it wouldn't open. And the guy behind the counter was like, where did you put those candy bars? And I was like, oh God, I'm caught. So I told him I put them back. And he was like, yeah, you had them and you were looking at them. Where are they? He was like, I put them back. And then he ended up asking me about a candy bar that was in my pocket. And I was like, oh God. So I pulled it out. And he's like, what happened with that? And I was like, I thought my brother paid for it. I was a real bad liar sometimes. So I gave that back to him, but he let me out. And then I had like all these candy bars and stuff in my backpack, in my pocket, because I wore this big old giant coat, you know, that they had back in the 90s, those big old giant sports coats or whatever. But yeah, that was my not really getting caught story. But they didn't let me back into the store. Like, I would come in and they had a cage, they had to buzz you in. You'd walk in through the front doors and there was a cage and they had to buzz you in, and they wouldn't let me in anymore after that.
Dang.
They probably put that cage up because how much they saw it was getting stolen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. That was everywhere in Houston. Like, all the convenience stores and stuff had that. They had the bulletproof glass and all that kind of stuff. You don't see that around here. Like, you can go into a store and, like, literally have a conversation with whoever's working. But in those bigger cities, man, it's like they got, like, those blast shields.
Well, there's still places here that you can actually pump and then pay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like that blew my wife away when we moved here. She's like, you can actually. I was like, yeah, go in there. So, you know,
like, I used to work at a convenience store in a gas station. And that was like the thing, is you could pump and then pay. And one of the things that they said was, we will never go to prepay. And then all of a sudden, like, people just started stealing gas. There was like wasn't there a gas shortage or something like that at some point? Or gas prices got real high. And people were coming through and they would literally, like, the gas thefts got so high that they were like, all right, we have to go to prepay.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I ever stole was a wheelchair twice. So I've stolen two wheelchairs in my life.
And you have one of them.
I have one of them now, assuming that really happened. And both times, so like back, ironically enough, involving both Robs in my life. you know, because people who have watched this before know that my friend Robbie passed away and then I met you. And, you know.
Right.
But like one thing was this, we used to hang out, you know, my buddy's house, and we used to, a Josh house, a different Josh. That's cool. So weird about how that works up. But
do you look for friends with the same names throughout your whole life?
Yeah. Just like, Kevin, you know.
I figured.
He's uncomfortable with change.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. No, but so I still, back in the day, it was the mic chair, you know, and then years in the road, from my teenage years, you know, I saw an extra one sitting outside of a hospital.
Right.
And I was like, oh, look, a double wide wheelchair. That's special. And I don't have my old one anymore. So I grabbed that one, threw it back in my truck.
So whatever happened to the original one?
Years went by, because that was when I was like 17.
Did you just lose it in like moves and stuff? Yeah, or did you like push it into a ditch and leave it?
I would like to think that I gave it to someone who needed it. But no, it's so, because I like just having it to kind of well around when I think, you know, it's you know.
Right. Yeah, you like to move around while you're thinking.
Yeah, so it kind of helps me with my thought process.
See, that's something you should be in trouble about. So I have a lot of family and friends that work in the medical field, and I worked in the medical field between military and the prison. And bariatric wheelchairs are so hard to come by. Anytime that somebody needs to be wheeled out and they're overweight, like, it's like a scavenger hunt trying to find one of those.
Is that what a bariatric wheelchair is?
Mm-hmm.
This gives me a chance to do something good.
Yeah.
I can go return one. Return the one I have.
If you had stolen a regular wheelchair, nobody would have noticed. But they noticed when they went from 2 to 1 for the entire hospital.
In my defense, it was abandoned. And it was off the property of the facility that it would have belonged to.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
So for me, it was
It's fine. It's probably somebody's personal bariatric wheelchair.
Okay, so
It was like filled right outside of it. It's like there was like unloading. I don't know.
In that case, I feel comfortable telling you about my collection of abandoned shopping carts, because they were off the property. And they were abandoned. So I went and picked them up. And I didn't have a trunk, or I didn't have a big truck. So I had to hold on to it and drive down the road with it while it was like riding next to me.
I just want to give a disclaimer that I don't do any of those things anymore. Yeah. All those were before I was, you know,
That story that I just told is not true. I've never stolen a shopping cart.
And mine isn't either.
Yeah, there's no bariatric wheelchairs to be spoken of.
Right, right.
Because I didn't even know what that word meant. Hospital.
Yeah, so that was that.
That was that.
Now, a lot of my, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of my in trouble stuff was with my siblings growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't get in trouble a whole lot when I was younger. I did a little bit, but not a whole lot, because my dad was at work all the time.
Oh, see, I had this.
So it's not that you didn't do anything you should have been in trouble for.
Oh, no, I did a lot of stuff I should have been in trouble for.
You just didn't get in trouble for it.
Right, right, right.
See, that's the story of my life. I'm just too sneaky.
Yeah, I'm not very sneaky, but.
Well, as you've learned from the hoo-hoo story, I'm not sneaky, even though I try to be.
It's all right. Points. We love you, Spider-Man.
Thanks, man. That should be the freaking thumbnail, or freaking like, they'll be right with the thumbnail up, but like just like my face shop photoshopped on a freaking Spider-Man. Like. So I had a weird chain of events with my sister, Ashley Nicole.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, my poor sister. So like there's things I did that were mean that were not intended to be as mean as they turned out to be.
Ooh.
Right. Starts off with the story that I like to call the tag of death. I'm just giving them names just so I can fill them in.
No, the look on my face is me trying to like, I'm trying to find out where you're going to go with the story.
Okay. So when I was a young little lad, sister was a young little laddie, lass, we were playing tag in the house.
Laddie.
And this is right when Lion King first came out.
Okay.
Right. So we got done playing Lion King and we were playing like tag, whatever, and I was like boy lion, whatever. And I went to tag her, and whenever I pounced and tagged her, I pushed her on accident, and her head went into the fireplace, and she slashed her head open.
This took a dark turn.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to do that thing.
And the fireplace was off, right?
Well, yeah, it was just the, and of course, I don't mean to hurt my sister. We were playing, you know,
right?
But then. You know, she had the gash, and my mom called my dad, and we had to go to the hospital, and she had to get stitches, and she has a lot of stuff like that for me, you know, accident. You know.
Right.
But I wasn't trying to be abusive, you know. It's just, it happened that way. And then, of course, then she got Anala, which is from the movie Simba, doll, all that stuff, and got treated like a princess for like a week, and I got a little jealous because, like.
You know, she got all the attention.
Yeah. And then.
And it was your fault.
But she was bitter towards me for a little bit, you know.
Right.
She had that scar.
So just, she was funny Scar and like, you were Simba.
I was going to crack a joke about it, but you just beat me to it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks for stealing my joke.
Man, we can try it again. Yeah. This is, let's just go ahead and cut that part out, and then you go ahead and try it.
All right. So I played. I turned out to be.
That's why I was laughing.
The real life Scar. So I was playing Simba, but I turned out
to brother. Be Scar. No.
So I was playing Simba with her, but I turned out to end up being Scar.
Oh, so you were like
no, I turned
so
her
you
Scar.
Were Scar.
Wait,
you turned
no.
her into Scar.
Dang it, no, this is right. Anyway, so that was the first chain of events in that, right?
And of then you being mean to her accidentally.
Yeah. Well, it taking a worse turn.
Okay.
And so this tag of death comes back again then.
Well, it's not the tag of death this time. It's the big tricycle and tree bark incident.
Okay.
Of 1993.
That one's a little bit more descriptive, so I can kind of see where this one's going.
Yeah. So anyway, we had this big tricycle, right? These big tires. And my evil sister took off on it without asking. It was like, nah, 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 right? And I was like, don't you nah, nah, nah me. Give back. It's my tricycle, right? So she takes off with it. And I thought in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to pull something off from a movie. I took a piece of tree bark that just so happened to land right there. And I took the tree bark and I was going to throw it. And it was supposed to hit the tire wheel and catch it, right? And stop it, because that's how it was going to play out in my little
imaginative. So it had spokes?
Yeah, in my little imaginative mind.
Right.
But instead, what happened was she turned around and it just so happened to hit her right in the same freaking
spot.
Oh,
no.
Got her head gashed right open again.
Oh, man.
Right. And then she was bleeding from her head. And I'm like, oh, come on. And she ran inside. And of course, I looked like the worst brother ever. And then, you know, so then I got trouble for that. She got more dolls and I got more trouble.
Silver lining. At least she didn't have two scars.
Well, yeah, kind of. But
this is the same. It was just a bigger scar now.
Yeah. You know,
that's more like X marks the spot.
Yeah. I marked it for life. So then there was that story, right, where that went worse. And the third one was actually, stands out to me, it was actually kind of malicious, but then it got worse than what it was supposed to be. So my sister was being evil once again, didn't get in trouble for it because I ended up doing the worst thing. So this is, we lived in a two-story house in Marion, and my sister kept messing with my stuff, right? You know how sisters do. And it was kind of like annoying me, following me around, going, everything I would say, she would say kind of thing. Yeah,
she's irritating you.
Yeah.
And antagonizing you.
And we had one of those old school, like Victorian houses. It was real old, you know, and where you could lock the closet door.
Oh, no.
So I pushed her in the closet, put her in my own version of timeout. This is years later, you know, after the old wounds have healed, metaphorically and physically. And we had a good stint for those years, you know, but she was just driving me crazy. So I pushed it in there. And plus she scratched my Space Jam CD, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. You
know, like the soundtrack?
Not Space
or the
Jam.
Movie?
Yeah. The soundtrack.
You know, those are fighting words.
You know, with R. Kelly and, you know, mm-hmm. I believe I can fly, you know, mm-hmm. like, but better, you know. And so like, and so I pushed her in the closet because, you know, she scratched my
that's
CD.
Right. That's what you do. In, yeah. That's the punishment.
And so I locked the door. And I was like, you're a timeout. And she's like, you can't do that. And I was like, I just did, you know. And I ran downstairs. Well, then I forgot that she was in there. Yeah. And I believe
I can fly.
The time that elapsed was roughly like 30 minutes, which is a long time to be lost.
So you were downstairs and you couldn't hear her because I'm sure she was screaming at this point.
Yeah, but like it was those old Victorian houses and we were downstairs and it was, you know. Mom was downstairs watching TV, you know, and then it hit me after we were about halfway through Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman reruns. I was like, oh, because mom's like, where's your sister at? You know, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll go check on her. I'm like, oh, snap. And she'd been there so long, like almost like 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
That, I mean, that's like, eternity. We were through like almost a whole episode of Dr. Quinn the Medicine Woman. You know, so it was a big deal. And dude, it like messed her up bad. Like she was like in that dark culture and... Yeah, and I was begging her. I was like, hey, you know what? Let's go through my CDs and stuff. But you don't tell mom.
You can scratch all the ones you
want. Well, she went and told mom anyway after I gave her, you know.
You know, the mistake was you should have knocked on the door. I'm like, hey, if you don't tell mom, I will unlock this.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you let her out too soon.
You don't give her all the freedom and then negotiate.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true. Well, you know, I'm a lot smarter now. I was a pretty dumb kid, apparently. But yeah, so those are my three horrible things I did to my sister growing up. So she reminds me every once in a while.
Look at this.
Well, it's crazy because like her and I are so freaking close now. Like her and I are super duper close. She's actually going to come on a podcast soon, you know? But we're like inseparable. And she even, like when I moved away, we got matching tattoos. Like I went and got a tattoo and then she went and got a matching one, you know, on her ribs.
Right.
You know, for my name in it, you know? And like, and she's just like, actually two tattoos dedicated to me. And it's like, we're super tight. So I went through that out there. But yeah, like that was those three times in those 18 years, those were my in trouble moments with her.
I have a story that kind of goes along with the one that you had where you threw that bark at her.
Yeah.
So we were like, this is a ridiculous story. So we were playing with me and my brother. We were playing with some kids in the neighborhood and we were like running around throwing stuff at each other. Like whatever you could find, you could chuck it at somebody.
Sounds safe.
Yeah. So then all of them teamed up on me because I was the biggest one out of all of them. And they were really angry. So they would like team up on me and they would throw stuff on me. And I felt like I was getting picked on. So I got really, really mad. So I went inside. I waited for all of them to go hide. And I went inside my house and I made weapons. I found aluminum foil and I hammered them out into spikes and I put them in a straw and I was spitting them at them. And I made like spikes out of aluminum foil and you hammer it down and it turns into like real solid metal. And then I took a aluminum foil and I crumpled into a ball and I hammered it into a flat disc. And I hammered the edges down so that they were sharper. I didn't like sharpen them or anything, but I hammered them down.
They
were thinner. Like, I was mad. I was real mad.
Dang, dude.
So we were
all accidental.
We were out running around and I was like spitting these spikes at them. I wasn't hitting anybody with any of them because there was aluminum foil, handmade things. They didn't go anywhere. So they had this, the neighbor had this boat and we all ran over to their house and I was chasing them over there. They were all laughing and like taunting me and stuff. And my brother ended up jumping in a car that they had and he was rolling the window up and I was in the boat and I took that disc and I just chucked it like sidearm through it. And as he was putting up the window was like closing and closing and closing, went right through the window and hit him in the neck right here. Oh, I felt so satisfied. And then he started crying.
It's like you ruined it with your tears.
And I'm like,
man.
Great, now I'm in trouble. But yeah, so that was kind of the same thing as you were. You were just like on the mark and you didn't mean to be. So I actually didn't think I was gonna hit him at all, but it went right through and hit him right in the neck.
That's crazy, dude.
Luckily he didn't like bleed out.
So I have a story where I'm glad that it was a guy that wasn't on the mark. You know, I wasn't necessarily in trouble with any authority type, but I was definitely in trouble with this guy. Right. So when I moved out to Idaho, I didn't really know too many people after high school. And I was kind of fresh out of the basic and all that other stuff. And I was in the National Guard and I hadn't gone full time yet.
Right.
And anyway, I was just trying to meet some people and there was somebody invited me to hang out. And so I was hanging out in the parking lot with a group of people and they were all drinking and everything. And I realized that I didn't like any of them. And then they started talking a bunch of crap about military and about me and about other stuff. So I jumped up on top of this guy's truck, like on his hood, like standing straight up, pulled down my pants to start peeing all over his windshield. Right. So he gets in the back and gets one of those tire irons, like has the four things on it.
Right.
Yeah. And so I start running away and he chucks it and like bounces like right behind me and like right over my shoulders.
Oh, wow.
I was like, and it was going fast too. So
you have to be strong to throw one of those too. Cause those are heavy.
Yeah. He was big guy.
Cause they're like iron, solid iron.
Yeah. They're all half retarded though. And wasn't really my jam. And I was like, you know what? They'll never invite me out to hang out with them again after this. Yeah.
You know what my jam was? Space Jam, sis.
Oh, yeah.
And you ruined it.
Mm-hmm. So I have a story about when I threw something at my brother, and I'm glad I missed. So I get very, I guess, violent when I'm like super, super angry. So that's probably not the best thing to
put
out there.
Don't make him angry.
But no, we were at home alone. So my dad was always at work and my brother loved to antagonize me. He would like antagonize me so much and then he would run away. So he started running away and I didn't have a chance to go chase him. So I picked up a chair, like not one of the folding chairs, but it's one of those like solid chairs. It's got like the metal liners on it and a little bit of a padded cushion seat on it. And I threw it across the house at him and it went through a wooden door. Like the leg went into the door and it stuck and hung there. So I'm really, really glad I missed with that because that would have hurt.
Yeah, that would have been
so bad.
Yeah, you would have got your brother a bunch of stuffed animals with that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, my brother and I used to antagonize each other a lot. That's a lot of where the getting in trouble stuff always came from.
Right. Just builds character, you know.
Poking at each other.
Yeah. Well, when you're a kid, you don't understand how fragile things are, and you just kind of react. You know, you're developing that. You know, for a lot of my stuff was just it. Like, no one got hurt, with the exception of those stories. But it was more of a just me getting in trouble for just doing dumb stuff. Like, my dad used to think I was like the dumbest kid ever, and so I used to try to manipulate him to get out of stuff. So like one time I got in trouble and I had to paint the shed, right?
Right.
Or I don't know if I got in trouble or not, but I needed to paint the shed because it was time to paint it. It's been many years. And so I'm sitting there painting, and I know my dad's watching me. And so I'm like purposely doing a horrible job so he'll stop me and make me not do it. and then like when I would mow the yard, I would just purposely mow it off and make it real bad enough times where he would just be like, well, he can't figure this out, so I'm not going to.
So you're a genius, but he thought you were dumb.
Yeah, well, it's funny because one day my stepmom called me out on it, and my dad, and she's like, I think he's playing you. He's not as dumb as you think he is. And my dad's like, no, I think he's pretty dumb. Like, you know, my dad's like, I love him, but I think he might be a little slow with this. And then my dad one day, he just was like, you know, hey, you doing this purple guy trouble? I'm like, dang it.
You could have kept it up. You could have been like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. But it was funny because it was one of those things where, you know, it worked for a while. It was a valiant effort.
Right.
But it just, when you start trying to do everything bad, so you get out of chores, you start mopping, you're like, oh, I don't know why there's streaks of mud everywhere. But like eventually I had to confess, like, okay, yeah, you're right. And then, you know, then I do double the chores. But there's one time my sister, because I don't want you to think she's innocent, she tried to frame me once. So at my dad's house, for many years, they had this porcelain swan, right?
Okay.
Which is interesting because
what's the title to this story? The porcelain swan?
The not so graceful swan incident.
Okay.
There you go.
I like how they have incidents.
Yeah. So my sister, Ashley Nicole, is not very graceful at all. She's super clumsy, right? And so one time she fell and broke the porcelain swan, like the corner of the wing came off. And it's been like around, it's super valuable, been around for a long time, right? So her tactic was to beat me to my parent or to my dad.
To say that you did
it. To say that I did it. But fortunately for me, my stepsister Renee also saw it and heard her like vocalize her plan before she went and did it.
Oh, that wasn't smart, Ashley.
Yeah. And then so I was covered on that one because she can fake cry and look so innocent and cute. And me, I can't pull it off. I just look guilty. I'm like, no, Dad. I've already been in trouble enough, as you can tell through my track record, that I'm an easy target, you know?
Right.
But like her clumsiness was just like, this is my favorite. I'm going to say this real quick, but this is my favorite clumsy sister story, right? So you know how you could play, just to give you an idea of how clumsy she was. She's going to love this episode. So you know how you play chicken? You see people play chicken in cars and stuff?
Yeah.
Or on their bike where and the person who turns loses? Mm-hmm. Well, we weren't trying to play chicken, but my sister got the idea that we were, because I would never play chicken with somebody like my sister. Because, you know. So anyway, I'm coming down the road in my dad's house on my bike. She's coming down the road in the opposite direction. And I'm like, move, move, right? Because she started to turn where I turn. And then she gets this look on her face. And I've never seen this much like of a courageous look in my sister's face. And she like goes like this and like leans into the handlebars and the grips real tight. And she's like looking at me like, I'm not gonna move. I'm like, wow. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna move. And so like we start getting closer and closer to each other. I'm like, move, and she's like, you. And then we just crashed right into each other. And both, we just got scuffed up so bad. And it was just ridiculous. But yeah, so like the whole, like, she's so freaking clumsy, dude.
Right.
It's how is that clumsy though?
Because like,
she crashed into his bike.
She did it on purpose.
No, she was determined to get out of the situation, but it looked like someone was like, let's do this. But because at one point, like, you could just tell like she was going to move, but whenever she did finally move, I moved and we hit each other. But it was like, but she was the whole time, it wasn't like she was like this straight down. She was wobbling, trying to figure it out. Like, But she was like courageously like keep an eye on that. She was wobbling. But it was I don't know if she was trying to play chicken or not. Like, I don't know. But she was so focused and so determined.
You just imagine that she was, because it makes a better story.
Yeah.
Makes you feel bad. Yeah. Makes you feel less bad about plowing into your sister who's just trying to learn how to ride a bike.
I think that mystical transaction, though, of the chicken, like, infected me with clumsiness for one whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like that very next birthday, I dropped my birthday cake coming up the stairs.
You carried your own birthday cake?
Somebody's birthday cake. But it was a birthday cake coming up my grandpa's stairs, and I fell and just smashed it. And then I was, like, really clumsy for a whole year. And I think it's because I kept thinking about not falling and not being clumsy. I had this weird thing about like...
You just got inside your head.
Yeah, I got in my head. And then I would just start becoming clumsy. And then I was clumsy like my sister for 1 year.
So I did that with a...
The chicken transaction.
Chicken transaction. Yeah. I did that with a big old pot of beans. We were going to like... My parents liked to help the church and stuff. And we did like a... We made food and did like these lunches and was it potlucks or whatever. And I was carrying the big old thing of beans and I tripped over a parking block and dumped them all over the parking lot. My parents were mad.
Sounds like Rob spilt the beans.
Uh-huh.
Hey-o. Whoa.
Someone give me a.
So I have a
social distancing.
I have a story that goes along with what you're saying about your sibling telling on you when you didn't do anything. Like they did something and went and told on you. So we were outside. We had this like desk outside on the porch of our house.
That's weird.
Yeah, we were those people. So
did you also have like cars?
No,
cars
just in the yard? That was it. We did have a giant blue bus parked there, but that was a different story. I've told stories about that before, but no, I was laying on the desk. My brother was laying on the desk, and our friends were all sitting around. We were talking and stuff. And I pretended to spit on my brother. Like, you can do like this where you, like that. Yeah. Like you just block your mouth for a second and it feels like you spit on him.
Yeah.
So he got real mad. And we used to get our allowance and walk down to Wendy's. And then we would buy like, we had just enough to get like a thing of cheese or maybe some fries. So we got that and he took his whole cup of cheese and dumped it down my back.
Dang.
And then he ran inside and I ran in after him and he would always run to my dad.
He wasted his allowance cheese on your back?
Yeah, because he thought I spit on him. Well, but he ran to my dad, and he would always do this. He would hit me and run to my dad and say that I was trying to hit him. Mm. And I'm like, of course I am, because he hit me first. Mm. So I would always get mad when he would make it to my dad before I got a chance to hit him. It would make me so angry.
Yeah, I'd put those hits on credit. Be like, oh, I'm going to get you now. I got in trouble for it.
Oh, I did several times.
I'm going to lock you in a closet.
Yeah. for entire duration of an episode of Dr. Quinn, the Medicine Woman.
I could see you. I could see you telling your kids that, and then be like, "That's a little too specific, Dad." did that something like that happen in your life?
Yeah, I was a weird kid. You know, it's LZ. I may have talked this on episode before. I don't know, but I had a friend growing up. His name was LZ Kreider. His name was actually LZ, spelled LZ.
I remember you saying that, and I asked if it was Liz. So yeah. I do kind of remember the story.
Yeah. Dude, man, that kid's awesome though. Like, we had a lot of fun together, but he was super tough, you know. And right. We got together to hang out. We just do stuff that kind of
my butt hurts. Sorry,
definitely put it to the test. But one time we took a bunch of like, I think I may have talked this in an old podcast
back before video was a thing.
Yeah, and so, but basically we, you know, in WWF, because it was WWF back then, right? Wrestling was a big thing and had the weapon matches. So we'd put on my dad's Carhartt coats and four-wheeler helmets and gloves. And we lay out, we had a bamboo stick. We had a shovel. We had just like random like
items,
baseball
bats. And they were like placed around and you had to go get them and stuff.
But we did it on the open lot towards the end where my dad's cul-de-sac was. Right. So people were driving by and stopping and looking. Gosh. And we were just beating the snipes. Because that show with Johnny Knoxville first came out.
Yeah.
That was the cool thing to do. You know, young boys were stupid. Yep. So we were just beating the snot out of each other. And then later we would like show off our bruises and stuff. I'm like, yeah, dude, that was so cool. Did you see the way I hit you? He's like, yeah, dude, I almost broke that stick on your back, man. Yeah. Good thing we had this padding on, you know. And then it just, you know, like that kind of stuff we actually didn't get in trouble for because it was more of like, just don't do it again.
Yeah, it's like boys will do dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, because like that was punishment enough because like, what are you going to do, spank me? Like, look at these bruises.
Right. Man. I could take it.
Yeah.
But my little nephew does that. Like, his parents will spank him, and he's like, didn't hurt. Didn't hurt. I'm like, oh. throw you down a flight of stairs. I'm gonna be a bad parent.
Yes. So here's my next thing, right? So one time I actually got kicked out of a gas station.
Okay.
That's not really getting in trouble. So back in high school, I guess I used to think that I went through a phase where I thought high school meant a place where you go get high. Because
I mean, the logic is sound, I guess. Yeah.
So anyway, but there's some friends that were doing that stuff, and I got into it for a little bit. And one day we were hanging out, we went to a gas station, you know, and the first time I was ever high, and there's this thing called, and of course, I don't believe in anything that anymore, you know, I'm a different kind of man, but just things from our past. So there's this thing called a steamroller that somebody made, and it's like this giant freaking like tube. It was made out of like a paper towel roll and then those industrial saran wrap rolls put together in tape, and they drilled a hole for, I'm not gonna give instructions, I'm gonna teach them how to make something like that, but anyway, and there's other things that I'm not gonna tell you because I'm not gonna tell you how to make that. So anyway, so basically they put the substance in there, you know, and you light it, you smoke it, then you pull it away and the whole chamber fills with smoke. And so the very first thing I ever smoked when I tried that drug was out of a steamroller. And I got super stupid on it, right?
Right.
And so one of my friends was like, let's go to the gas station and get snacks. And I was like, okay, but I can't drive, man, you know. And so we go to the gas, local gas station, and I was so out of it that I was like, you know those donut cages where they have like all the different donuts?
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was doing it because I was so like mesmerized and stoned and like out of my, like kind of out of focus. But apparently I lost track of time, did a little bit of time traveling in the donut case. And I was poking this donut and I was staring at it so long. This one donut, trying to figure out if it was the jelly that I liked. And I was there, I went to other thoughts because I already have ADHD. So my thoughts went to all these other thoughts, then went back to the donut. And apparently they kicked me out of the gas station because I had been poking and staring at this donut for almost like 15, 16 minutes.
Wow.
And it got his attention. They're like, it's been like, it's like close to 20 minutes that you've been poking this donut. Like you need to leave. So he let me keep the donut.
Well, yeah.
So I took the donut with me, went back to the house, and then apparently I still like messed with the donut and had it the entire night. And then
your hands had to be so sticky.
Yeah, I woke up after passing out hours later, still with my finger in the donut. But I got them all kicked out of it. Like no one else could finish their purchase. Like because they're the, you know, like somebody else got with a slushy, you know, whatever, you know.
But. All right, guys. So what we've learned from this story is if you want free donuts, go to the gas station and start poking a donut for 15 minutes.
And just gaze into the glaze with great intent for
hashtag wordplay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
So that was the only time I got kicked out of a gas station.
Can I tell them a time where I probably saved you from getting in trouble in the locker room?
People got to get really stupid.
Well, yeah, when you stack up all the stories one after another from your whole
go ahead, you know Josh. What I'm talking about?
Life.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So he had a clear lunchbox, right? And he had some of this substance in that clear lunchbox, right?
Hashtag smart.
And the lockers in the locker room had like huge holes in them. Like they were patchwork, but I mean, you could see everybody's everything in there, right? So he decides to put his lunchbox up top, boom, and his clear lunchbox, and all of it is his like face in the outside and closes it. And when you look into his locker, the only thing you could see was just a whole bag. And it's like, hey man.
And this was in high school?
Yeah. You should open up your locker and turn your lunchbox around. And he's like, why? I'm like, well, look. And he looks over, what? I was like, turn your lunchbox around. And it's like, oh, yeah.
A whole bag of green stuff sitting there.
Yeah.
It was because that was back in the day before they were really like cracking down on the dogs coming and sniffing it out, you know?
Right.
And you know, Dare was just leaving the schools, you know?
Yeah.
They're just coming, you know, kind of making their comeback. But
it was pretty obvious exactly what it was. And
you just walk by and see it.
Yeah, just pencil shavings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're in school.
Man, I don't know like what was wrong with me. I was really stupid.
I have a story about how
I wish you'd have been there in my Spider-Man story in that room. I wouldn't have got caught.
Could have talked you out of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if your chief was sitting in your room, this.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about like after I got in trouble again with the phone with the watch out guy. You could have watched out for me better.
And you could have picked something better than Hootie Who.
Yeah, better than Zuniga Beetle, who's like like right when Chiefs are at the door, turns around, woo-hoo. But that's not how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to let me know before danger approaches, not when it's here.
Right, no. Right. I got kicked out of a Walmart one time because it was real, real late at night, like 3 a.m. And me and a couple of friends, we were at Walmart just jacking around like you do when you got nothing else to do when you're in high school. And we went and we got two of those little electric like cart things and we're riding them around the store.
Oh, the Rascals.
Yeah. And we went, I think I may have told the story before. We went to toy aisle and I got like a shotgun or whatever and a cowboy hat and he got like a spaceman helmet and like a lightsaber or a sword or whatever. And we were jousting in the middle of the toy aisle with those toys. And then we ended up getting like the guy came by and he's like, you guys need those? And we're like, no. And he's like, put them back and leave. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we had to go park them back up in the front and left.
That's funny. Cause like as an adult, we see things differently. And remember on our Come On People episode, I talked about, yeah, that was one of the things that annoyed me is like those college kids riding around on those things. And so the older people can't use them.
Yep.
And, yeah, here you are like, yep, as a kid, like,
dude, when I was younger, man, with them. I wanted like a real loud sound system in my car. And I used to like make a huge scene at the restaurant. Okay. So we would go to Dairy Queen and there was this girl that I really liked. I thought she was super cute and, she would go hang out with us and I would do whatever I could to make her laugh. So, right. She would laugh every time I would pull out a napkin from the little dispenser and I'd toss it up in the air. And as it would fall down, she would just laugh. And I'm like, that's awesome. So then I kept doing it. Just kept repeating the same. Yeah, yeah. So, and then I took a handful of them and I just threw them up into the ceiling fan. And they went everywhere. And she's dying laughing. And I'm like, I sprayed ketchup on the table and I spilled salt everywhere. And it's like, she just won't stop laughing. And I just kept doing all this stuff. And then now, like, if I go to a restaurant and I see that, I'm like, oh, my God, what an idiot.
Yeah.
What a turd. Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, dude, like, it was funny when I was younger. But, like, to anybody else who was in the store, I was, like, the worst kind of person you probably ever meet.
It's crazy as we get older. We're like, and that's why we should have a little bit of mercy when we're guiding these youngins out of that rebellious stage, you know?
Right.
Because we look at the kind of kids we were. But, because yeah, it is annoying.
Like, it was super funny back then, but now it'd be like super annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can save it for a different episode, but the one who acts more like me than anyone else is my only kid that doesn't share my DNA. Like she's totally my daughter. Right. It's like she acts like me, she gets in trouble like me, like all this little tiny stuff, like you know how you kind of can manipulate your parents a little bit like you're saying with your dad, and it's like all the stuff that I would do just to tweak it just a little bit to show that I was still in charge, she does that. And it's like,
I love that little girl though. She's awesome. She's precious.
I love her.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Now we're all parents. Like that's precious.
And that's so
like,
precious.
We're like, yeah, let's take the rascal. Mm-hmm. And
except for when I'm tired and hungry, you know, afterwards, I'm like, man, I probably overreact sometimes. Sometimes I don't.
But there's a
like,
word for that.
Yeah.
It's called hangry.
Hangry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realize that I get hangry more than I do grumpy when I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I realized that this week. I knew being hangry was a thing, but it was like, I didn't realize that some of the times where I thought I was grumpy because I was tired, I was actually grumpy because I was hungry.
Yeah. It's crazy how that happens. Your body like has those little physical reactions and then it makes for a weird day.
Yeah.
All right. You guys ready to wrap this one up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right. Do you want to close it or do you want me to?
I can attempt it.
Since you opened it, let's go ahead and have you close it.
So, guys, that was a little bit of us just hanging out, talking about times we've gotten in trouble. I actually skipped a lot. I forgot about a lot of the stuff last time I was an adult that we got trouble, like in the court cases and stuff and lawsuits.
We might have to do a part two.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. So, this is... So that's a little bit about us and the times that we've were mischievous growing up and in life. If you have too gotten in trouble in your life, you should subscribe
and comment below.
And tell
us your stories.
Tell us your stories of when you got in trouble. You know, and other than
just
that,
make sure the statute of limitations is up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But don't put it in writing if the statute of limitations.
We're just going to assume that every story that you put on there that's true is actually not true.
Yeah.
So
right.
Still have to prove it.
Disclaimer. Yeah. So, you know, on that note, thank you for joining us on this very delightful episode of Just Play Nonsense. Stay out of trouble. Like, subscribe, and see you on the next one.
Adios. See you guys later.
See ya.